2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus went out into the wilderness to be near God, to grieve, to contemplate, to be called into God's liberating work. We talked about how the people came to him, longing for change, longing for healing, longing to be a part of God's story of liberating love and justice. We talked about how God faithfully cares for us in the wilderness and calls us into the work of being a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. Last week, we talked about how both Jesus and his disciples noticed the people gathered had a need for food. We talked about how the disciples' imaginations were captive to the answers empire had to offer the hungry. Send the people into the towns to buy food. We know that many of these people had been sick for some time, and in that culture, unlike ours, illness and disability pushed you into poverty. The disciples' solution would work for some, and it would leave the most vulnerable of our siblings still hungry. Last week, we talked about how Jesus' imagination was not captive to the answers empire had to offer. He said, "We'll feed them." He said, "Bring me everything we have, even though it isn't much." He gave thanks to God and not to empire for the nourishment they had, and he shared it with everyone. And whether by an old-fashioned miracle where the food appeared, where there was no food, or whether by that more amazing miracle where everyone in a crowd of 10,000 simply decided to share liberally. Regardless how it unfolded, Jesus' liberated imagination resulted in there being enough and some to share. In fact, 12 baskets to share. Today, I want to really lean into those 12 remaining baskets. Jesus had 12 friends with him, 12 friends who didn't think their little faith community could meet the needs of the world around them, let alone meet their own needs. Jesus invites them to take what they have for themselves and share it with their assembled siblings. I am sure they wondered what they themselves would do for nourishment. And in the end, there was a basket full of food for each of them. As we inhabit this wilderness season, as we wonder what our neighborhood and what our world needs and how Spirit is calling us from the wilderness to be a part of God's movement for wholeness in a fragmented world, as we wonder what it means to be welcome table while socially distanced, as we wonder what it looks like to ever extend God's welcome, God's lavish, nourishing, welcoming, loving, just, liberating table, it is important to remember God prepares a space for you at the table. Are you afraid right now? Surely the disciples were terrified after John the Baptist's head was served up on a plate. Are you afraid right now? Settle into the wilderness and know that God is with you and God is for you. Are you grieving right now? Surely the disciples were grieving the murder of John. Are you grieving right now? Settle into the wilderness and know that God is with you and God is for you. Are you in need right now? Surely the disciples were in need of rest, in need of connection, in need of assurance, in need of nourishment for their souls and for their bodies. In need to know that as much as Jesus had compassion for the crowds, Jesus had compassion for each and every one of them. Intimate and knowing compassion. Are you in need right now? Settle into the wilderness and know that God is with you and for you. Do you feel shame right now? I can imagine that having told Jesus to send the people away to buy food for themselves, knowing that would exclude the people empire consistently marginalized, only to have Jesus push back on their participation with the marginalization system, I can imagine that the disciples felt some shame. I can tell you that not a day has gone by since George Floyd's murder, and really, honestly, for a long time before that, that I haven't felt personally some sort of shame for my own participation in a marginalization system. The more I learn, the more I feel this push to shrink into a cocoon of debilitating shame. But shame serves no one but empire. Jesus does not invite us to shame. Jesus invites us to liberation. Jesus sees the broken system and has compassion. As we said 2 weeks ago, Jesus is moved to the guts. He calls us to liberation from empire, and this includes liberation from shame. So breathe deep. Breathe deep. Deep, the love of God that is for you, for restoration, that meets you in ways, even when you are actively participating in a broken system, it absolutely pushes you to join in the transformation, but it does not call you to shame. Do you feel shame right now? Settle into the wilderness and know that God is with you and for you and filled with compassion for you and calling for you, like the disciples with their 12 baskets feasting lavishly on God's love. Feast lavishly on God's love for you because you are loved. You are loved. You are loved. And so we will live love. We will live transformation, rooted and nourished by the reality that we are loved. Like Zacchaeus, who participated in the oppressive Roman supremacy system, Jesus loves us even when we participate in white supremacy and oppression of the natural world. Like Zacchaeus, it is not shame, but love that liberates us to abandon those ways and follow after a wild and wonderful spirit who dismantles systems of oppression. Do you feel shame right now? No. Settle in to God's love. Do you feel isolation and loneliness? I imagine that the disciples who thought maybe they would have this intimate time of grief and community with Jesus felt that unique kind of lonely where you can be in a giant crowd and feel utterly abandoned. And Jesus cultivated 12 baskets, one for each of them. Do you feel isolated and lonely in this season? Settle into the wilderness and know that God is with you and for you. Settle into the wilderness and know that your church, even if we cannot be physically with you, we are spiritually with you and for you. When we ask, what do you need right now? Do you feel yourself saying, well, you know, others need so much more than me. Don't concern yourself with me. I'll be okay. I promise you, the people gathered in that crowd needed more than Jesus' disciples did in that moment, and yet Christ is concerned with everyone. What do you need right now, church? How can we participate in God's imaginative nourishment of all creation, knowing that you are a cherished member of the family of all creation? What do you need right now? There is so much depth to the story of the feeding of the 5,000. As we slowly and carefully contemplate the story, I hope we hear that there is nourishment for your own soul. God provided community and shared nourishment for everyone. God provides it for your own soul. As with last week, I'd like us this week to enter into a time of reflection. There'll be a YouTube music video for contemplation following this in the playlist for those who find music helpful. If silence is better for you, you can skip it or mute it if you're joining us on Zoom. If you are watching this on your own time, you can set aside the playlist for a bit and go for a walk or a dance or do some gardening or cooking or whatever it is that aids you in settling into some time of contemplation. Today, I want to invite us to settle into the wilderness and ground ourselves in the reality that each of us is loved. Even as we are called to love others, to seek justice, to dismantle racism, to protect the created world, we are also called to be loved. Settle into that love and speak back and forth with Spirit about what you need. You can comment in the chat on Zoom or on the video, or you can email me what Spirit is telling you you need. You can email it to me at pastor@welcometablecc.org, or you can text it to members of our family of faith. Should you have the survey in your inbox, we've been working on this survey. I'll put the link in the chat. You can fill the survey out also to help us understand what you need. May you find a spacious place of discernment in this space.